Okay, yes, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Rugby Muscle Podcast. I'm your host, as always, TJ, and today we are going to be zeroing in on a critical yet often overlooked pillar of rugby performance, and that is speed. We know speed is important. We know that it can make or break our game, yet so many rugby lads don't actually train speed. So what I'm going to do in this episode is give you a bit more of an introduction, not on like the specific speed stuff and how to become Usain Bolt, but an introduction on speed for rugby, okay? And if you like that, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to do this early, okay? Like the podcast, give the YouTube video a thumbs up, rate the podcast, hit 5 stars on Spotify, that stuff. Just do it now whilst you've probably got Spotify still open. That stuff really does help spread the show. And of course, if you've got a really slow teammate or any teammates that want to learn more and take their rugby strength and conditioning more seriously, send them this stuff because it helps you. It helps me spread the show, helps me invest more time into doing more of these podcasts. Hope you're enjoying them so far. So speed is going to be the next of the 5 physical performance pillars that we have already spoken about. So we've already spoken about strength and size. We've spoken about aerobic capacity. We've spoken about movement slash athleticism, so your movement capacity. And then we've also spoken in the last 2 weeks of episodes about power. And if you want to find the skinny on those things, go back and listen to previous episodes where I will elaborate on each of those in enough detail that you need in 15 to 20 minutes. So in this episode, speaking of 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to talk about things that you can do in 15 to 20 minutes to really enhance your game speed. And that 15 to 20 minutes is quite significant because I think this is the best time frame for most rugby players to do their speed training. And that way it doesn't detract away from, you know, your aerobic conditioning work, your strength work, your power work, that sort of stuff. This is something that you can do in 15 to 20 minutes before rugby. And we'll get into that in a bit. But let's talk about an overview for speed for rugby. First, unlike other aspects of physical training, speed work doesn't primarily take place in the gym. Right? If you're trying to get more muscular, if you're trying to get stronger, if you're trying to build your power, you have to go to the gym. Conditioning, certain aspects can be done in the gym. A lot of the time people will go to the gym to do their conditioning sessions. Of course, you could just go out and run. Of course you can. But speed work, you're not doing in the gym. Okay. And given that you're already in the gym working on getting stronger, working on your power, working on your strength, working on movement training, there's little to be gained, in my opinion, by lifting weights specifically for speed. Okay, you shouldn't be lifting weights for the sole aim of developing speed. So if someone says to you, oh look, you should do power cleans because that's going to get you faster, no, you're doing power cleans to become more explosive, right? Heavy squats can get you stronger, which in turn can help build your speed, but you're not doing heavy squats to build your speed. You're doing heavy squats to get stronger, which is also still going to consequently or more significantly improve your rugby from like directly from those squats, not the benefit that gives your speed. That's just a little like sort of side benefit, right? So we've already got a lot of crossover benefits from the other stuff that we're doing in the gym. There's little to be gained now by doing even more stuff in the gym for rugby. I just don't think that's what we need. Instead, what we need to do is take a bit more of an 80-20 approach to speed training, right? Because most of you listening are going to be fairly short on time, and especially short on training time. You're not going to be doing 12 plus sessions in the gym like a professional player. You're probably not even going to be doing more than 3 or 4, okay? So time is a really scarce resource for you, especially when it comes to rugby training. So we must apply that 80-20 principles, focusing on that 20% of things that can really give us the 80% of the benefits of this, of our speed work. That's going to be massive for us as rugby players because, like I said at the top of the show, most people only apply 0% to their speed training. They just do strength and power work at most, and maybe some conditioning, and they hope that that's going to get them faster. Whereas if you're just doing a fraction, you know, 20%, 1/5 of the work that would get you all of your 100% speed work, you're going to make significant gains and you're going to see that impact on the rugby pitch. So for most rugby players, the real key to develop speed is straightforward. Go outside and go do some sprints. Okay, that's it. And I know a lot of people will want more nuance to that. They'll want a bit more of a session laid out. So we can do that. Let's go through a practical speed training session for rugby players. So firstly, let's go find a field near you. It could be, if you're in season, this is where this like is like a really good way to do this. You can just arrive early to rugby training and use this as a warm-up, as a primer. If you do this right, it's not going to hinder your session in any way. It will actually prime you for performance. You've got your speed workout, you're firing, you're not tired, you're ready to go train. And you've got a good bit of speed work already done. Now, if you're in the off-season or if you're getting ready for pre-season, you can also just find a field near you that's got, you know, 20 to 50 meters of space, enough space to slow down. We're not going to be sprinting 50 meters, but we need some space to be able to slow down. I don't like doing it indoors because of that rapid deceleration, but you know, I was going to say beggars can't be choosers. You can find a space with enough space. Okay. All you're going to do after a couple minutes of like a slow jog, just some basic warm-up drills, some basic hip mobilizations, you're good to go. So 5 minutes or so, just slow jogging, getting that heart rate up, getting the muscles nice and warm, get some basic hip mobilizations, get some basic leg swings in play, and we're good. Then all you're going to do is start your session by gradually building up to like 100% effort sprint. So a progression from 50%, moving up to 60%, 70%, maybe performing like two sets at 80%, two sets at 90%, and then finally a couple sets at 100% intensity. That's a solid session, right? That's it. That's a solid session of sprinting. If you've never done it, you do that You do that once a week for a few weeks. You'll feel yourself faster already after a few weeks just from doing that, because it allows you to really like hit that top end speed. You're going to refine your technique fairly autonomously, so your body's going to figure out what's the fastest way to sprint. Then from there we can start to look at like our sprinting mechanics. Okay, but for a lot of people that session can be enough, because it's like, this is the point I'm trying to make to you guys on this pod, is that most guys aren't doing any of this. So you do this. Yes, it's fairly simple. Yes, you could do more complex, but do you need to? Okay. And do you have the technical know-how to make that worth your while? Do you have the time to make that worth your while? Do this for a couple months. You'll experience big benefits. Then, yeah, after a couple months, now we might have to refine and be more deliberate with our mechanics. Okay. So for effective acceleration, we want to look at some techniques. We want to look at like your basic mechanics. You want to look at like your body angles where you're leaning. Ideally, the further you're leaning forward, but not just from the hips. That's a big mistake that most rugby players as well will make. When you're trying to keep low with your sprints, you're not trying to keep low by tilting at the hips. You're trying to keep the hips straight so that you can drive forward. So you're really trying to utilize the glutes. You do that by not driving your foot underneath you. You do that by driving your foot behind you. And that's going to feel funky. It's going to feel like you're falling over. And that's why you can do drills such as wall drives. So you're just using the wall drill. You don't have to use a wall. You can use a fence. You can use rugby posts if you're doing this on a rugby field before starting. And all you're going to do is lean in and get a nice steep angle. 45 degrees is enough for most people. Just feel how that feels, and you want a straight line. You want to flex onto your toes, and you want a straight line from your back heel to your shoulder, and then you want to just drive your front foot forward. So you have your knee, and essentially you'll look like a sort of 45 degree hashtag with your one line of your body, one line of your shin angle in the same line, and then you've got your upper body and your upper arm crossing that like a hashtag. Okay, you can also do this semi-autonomously by doing falling starts. So start with your arms by your side, keep your hips straight so you're not leaning over with your torso, you're keeping your hips straight, and you lean forward, and as you start to feel yourself fall, then you start and you go straight into a sprint. Okay, you're going to do this, and sometimes you want it so that you start to feel like you're about to fall over. If you're starting to feel like you're about to fall over, to me, that shows that you're getting in a good position and you're learning how that feels like. That's okay. We're practicing sprinting here. Okay, we're not trying to look cool in front of our mates. We might almost fall over a few times. We want to get used to that, and we want to get used to not using our front foot to slow ourselves down, as a lot of people will do when they're getting that positive body angle and having that foot plant way far in front of them. It's going to slow you down. You want to trust that you're going to drive that foot behind you and you're going to get into that angle. You can also do this by using push-up starts because you're already on the floor, same sort of thing. You can use kneeling starts, and all of these will help enhance your ability to explode from a stationary position and find those forward-leaning positions that are going to make you faster. Acceleration is all we've covered so far. There are two elements to speed. So we've got acceleration, then we've got top-end speed. I guess there's a 1.5 or a 2.5 element here where we could talk about running in different directions, slash agility. We're looking at curve running or pivoting. But to me, that's just a combination of acceleration and then driving into different directions. It still counts. It's definitely something that you could use for rugby. So we'll talk about that now. But for the most part, like, that is a lot. Like, if you do what I've just discussed so far, you are going to experience a massive benefit in your game speed. Top end speed can come into it, especially for wingers and eventually for all rugby players, but especially for wingers that are chasing kicks and that are more likely to reach top end speed several times throughout the game. That is going to make a difference. For most other rugby players, you're going to play rugby in like a 20 meter box at biggest, probably at most common, like a 10 meter box. So it's all about acceleration. It's all about going from static or slow to top speed as fast as possible. And that's what's going to make your line breaks. That's what's going to help you close line speed, make tackles. That's going to give you a huge bang for your buck with your speed training. And remember, we're coming at this from maybe doing some weights to help us with our speed training, or doing no speed training, you know? So that stuff that I've already spoken about is a lot for most of you. Now, as we get into more advanced situations or more specialist situations, we can look at a few other things. So we can look at flying sprints and top end speed. So once we've got our basic acceleration mastered, we can look at flying sprints to develop top end speed. This means that we're spending, like, we're properly warmed up for these. We're confident with our ability to get to top end speed. Now we're going to work on increasing that top end speed. So a slow build up at a low intensity, you know, 40 to 50 meters to slowly build up to top end speed, then a marked zone of 10 meters, 15 meters, 20 meters at most, where you drive top end speed, and you're almost trying to be gliding on the field as you run through. You could use those curved runners to help for this as well. They're actually pretty good at this. Is one of the few things that they are good at. But again, I prefer you working on your speed outside, as long as you don't live in somewhere like Scotland where it's always bloody raining and cold. Even then, maybe you should still go outside. You Canadians, as it starts to get warmer, you should still also get outside. For the most part, this is done outside. And again, 4 or 5 sprints at top end speed. You do that time and time again for a few weeks, or, you know, once a week, you're going to be golden. This stuff is really intense, so just make sure that you're getting a solid warm up in. Make sure that you're doing these on your high days. You're not coming into any of these sessions fatigued. You're going to be good. But just, that's probably it for top end speed. There's lots of drills that we can do, but I'm not going to explain them on the podcast. I just want to give you an idea of the different elements of speed that you need to train. Now, of course, if you want the drills, if you want to get faster, if you want to get faster alongside getting stronger, getting fitter, getting more explosive, everything that you can for rugby in the most efficient way possible, so that you're only training, you know, 3 to 4 sessions a week, that if that's all you've got, you're not exceeding yourself, you're not overwhelming yourself, then I would suggest looking at working with me with Rugby Muscle by using the links that will be in the description below. Now that's out of the way, let's look at curved running, another element where we're going to like develop on the speed that we've built, and now we're going to really try and apply it to rugby. This is especially obviously relevant for rugby, but we're going to look at potentially if you go to a soccer field, or if you can just mark out a curved line, you're going to look at a sort of curved run that you would that you would do in rugby, right? And this is not just, this isn't about agility. This isn't about stepping apart. This is about getting around and being okay with being at top end speed as you're doing it. So you can mark out some steep curves where it's like a small circle, like a 10 meter circle. Just again, go as fast as you can. Learn how that's going to feel different than running in a straight line. If you're already slow as shit and you haven't got fast in the straight line, you haven't done the work beforehand with the other stuff that I've spoken about, this is kind of a waste of time. You need to get fast first. Then you learn how to apply it in all these different situations. So that curved running, so you can get, you know, like a 10 meter diameter style of circle, and you can also do like a 40 meter diameter, so that would probably end up only being like a semicircle. And you just practice how your body would lean in and how that's going to feel. Obviously you do it both ways, you can combine different curves, you can just mark out a few cones and then curve around them yourself, rather than doing like an aggressive step where you don't really go anywhere. Curve and go really wide of the cones. Practice that ability to you know, almost like it's like if you hit a line and you sort of practice straightening up on a sharp curve, or you're arcing around and doing an arcing run, you know, either with the ball or to try and catch someone up. Different situations could call for different things. So you just got to be prepared for the situations that you will find yourself in rugby. And then finally, we can look at different arm positions. So you can have your arms overhead, you could have your arms crossed, you can be holding balls, you could be passing and catching, doing lots of different elements to emphasize the lower body and maintaining control of the lower body, whilst your upper body isn't necessarily doing the perfect arm action that you want to do as you're sprinting. Once you've done these, right, you can be a little bit more creative with these sessions. And again, These sessions in total can last no longer than 20 minutes. Sometimes once we get real nuance and we've done a lot of the groundwork beforehand, and I'm talking like 6+ months of groundwork beforehand, then we might consider doing sessions that might last like up to 30 minutes. But for convenience sake, these sessions are great. Okay. 15 to 20 minutes, get nice and warm, get some drills done, and then just run fast. And before you get fatigued, before you get cold, before your session starts, because you've done this just before your rugby training, you're done. And you're feeling good. You've done enough quality work. All it needs is a few hits a week of that top end speed or of that acceleration or of whatever you're trying to get to. That's all it needs to give you the ability and the adaptations that you want to improve your speed. You go too hard, you make this a fitness session, you're not going to get faster. You're just going to practice poor mechanics, right? If you start to do these under fatigues, you're just going to emphasize poor mechanics. You're going to emphasize trying to accommodate running for being tired, right? You're not doing that. You're trying to expand your overall top end speed so that when you are tired, even if you're operating at 80%, even if you're operating at 70%, that 80% is going to be significantly faster than it was before, okay? Because your 100% is that much faster because we've done this session once a week, maybe twice a week, you know, and that's it. All right, so that will wrap this up. Developing game speed is a critical, and it's definitely one of the most important components of improving your ability to play rugby. For younger players, it's going to make you stand out. For older players, you're losing it the older that you get. So you've got to keep working it. And if you keep working it, you can actually get faster. 30s, 40s, I don't care. If you have not trained this and now you start to train this and you do it properly, you will get faster. Okay? It's just one part of the broader training ecosystem. But if you're just dedicating 15 to 20 minutes a week to this, you can get significant on-field improvement. And if you judged it right, if you incorporate it right into the rest of your training, it doesn't take away from anything else as well. So that's my best way of having my rugby players that I work with at Rugby Muscle take care of their speed training. And again, if you want to work with me, if you want to experience that for yourself, click the links in the description below. Otherwise, I'll wrap it up there. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll catch you in the next one.